As we've been exploring the story of the Exodus, we have been seeing how the people of Israel have been walking with God. Sometimes that walk with God has shown the people to be faithful and dependent upon God. Sometimes the people of Israel have been grumbling against Moses and having forgotten about God. But always in this journey, as we've seen, God has remained faithful. You know, it's interesting, God is always faithful. He always shows forth His glory. Even when we sometimes fail the test and are not as faithful as He is always faithful. Well, this idea of walking with God is a very rich metaphor. For the people of Israel, it's also very rich for us as well. The Christian life could aptly be called walking with God. I think it's a great metaphor for our spiritual growth. Think about this. When you walk, you generally move forward. You're making progress. You know, God doesn't want us to live a life that's static and stays in the same place. What God wants for us is He wants for us to move to higher ground, to move to a better place. Walking is moving. So walking with God is moving in that direction that God would have us to go. A second way in which this metaphor works so well is that when you are walking with God, you are walking with a person. Another person. And when you walk with another person, it's so important to keep step, to adopt the same pace, to be going in the same direction as that other person. Imagine walking with another person in which you do not keep the same pace and the same step. In fact, that's the reason why many parents insist on holding the hands of their children when they walk together. It helps the parent and the child to maintain that same pace. It slows the parent down a little bit. It maybe helps the child walk a little faster. It's also important to be heading in the same direction. Imagine walking through the mall with your child. You hold that little child's hand because you want to end up at the same destination. You want to head in the same direction. You don't want that child to become separated from you and lose their way. Well, God is walking with the people of Israel. He's taking them from their enslavement in Egypt to the promised land. God is also walking with us in our journey through life as well. God wants us to make it to the promised land that He has prepared for us. And therefore, He chooses to walk with us. We are walking with God. A third way in which this metaphor of walking works so well is that if you think about walking, in the process of walking, you're always on the verge of losing your balance. Think about it. When you walk, you lift one foot, and one foot generally is always kind of up, and one foot's down. If you were to like freeze the action and you're walking, you'd probably fall over. You're always a little unstable if you're not walking. And so again, God helps us in those regards as well. When we walk with the Lord, we stay in fellowship with Him. We go the same direction that He is going. And all the while, we must trust Him. We must trust Him. Even when it feels like we're a little off balance, when we could fall at any moment, we trust in God. As we walk with God, He has promised to meet all of our needs according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He promises to meet all of our needs according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus. But sometimes our circumstances will test our faith. Our faith in God's ability to provide. Today we're going to pick up our story of the Exodus there at Elim. If you recall last week, when the people arrived in Marah, they grumbled against Moses because the water of Marah was too bitter for them. They were not able to drink it. God, however, reveals to them the means for making the water of Marah refreshing and drinkable. After Marah, God leads the people to Elim, where there is plenty of water and plenty of rest for them. And we noted yet last week that that is only one day's journey. One day's journey, God brought them to a place. And so we pick up with them in Elim. However, as the journey continues, as we move now into Exodus chapter 16, the people find another reason to grumble against Moses, forgetting that God is able to provide all of their needs every step of the way. If only they would walk with God. If only they would walk with God. Have you ever faced in your own life times of hardship in which you wondered whether or not or how God was going to take care of your needs, how God was going to provide? Have you ever wondered, where will I get my daily bread, my sustenance for life? Well, as the ancient Israelites wandered in the wilderness, they wondered where their next meal was going to come from. And so the Israelites began to grumble about their lack of food. Let's read the opening verses of the book of Exodus, chapter 16. It says, the whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which was between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. Verse 2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire community to death. Now let's just pause here for a moment in those verses. The people of Israel had witnessed the hand of God in so many ways. Most recently, they had seen the hand of God upon the waters of Marah. But as soon as they faced another challenge, they forgot about God again. Now, God stays faithful, even in the face of a lack of faith on the part of the Israelites. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people will go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. Here's the test. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gathered on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us. You are grumbling against the Lord. Earlier in the service, when we read that in our scripture reading, I mentioned the idea that Moses recognized that the people were grumbling ultimately against God. They had forgotten what God had done and could continue to do. How easily we all forget about God. Even as God is providing for us and sustaining us all throughout our journey. As we've been doing throughout our series in Exodus, we want to consider how we ourselves follow the same patterns that the ancient Israelites have done. Sometimes we find ourselves distancing ourselves and saying, well, those Israelites, they were a grumbling group. They were a group without much faith. But as we look through these stories, we want to see ourselves in them. Do we forget what God has continued to do? And do we sometimes grumble? And notice here, they didn't grumble against God. They grumbled against Moses. But Moses is recognizing that their grumbling is really against God. It could be a lack of food or water, as we see with the Israelites. But so often for us, it's other things. It may be a financial struggle we're dealing with, or maybe a health crisis in our life. It could be the loss of a loved one or a broken relationship. The people of Israel forgot that God is able to provide for them all the water that they needed, all the food that they needed. Do we sometimes forget that God is also able to walk with us through those difficult times in our finances or those difficult times with our health? Do we sometimes lose sight of God's hand of comfort during those times of loss and brokenness? Whatever our need, God is able to provide and to comfort. He desires to provide and to comfort. All He wants us to do is to walk with Him, to walk with God. Are we walking with God? When we face difficulties in our own lives, sometimes we see those difficulties as really bigger than they really are. Sometimes we think to ourselves, if only our immediate problems were addressed, if I had enough money that I need right now, if I didn't have the health problems I have right now, then everything would be fine. In other words, life becomes all about the problems we are facing, all about the relationships that we may have been lost or broken. But we need to remember that God is always bigger than our problems. And God is always able to heal us and restore us if we will simply walk with God and trust God. He will provide and He'll comfort us in all of our trials, as He does with the people of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 3, it says that man does not live by bread alone. Jesus actually quoted that passage when He faced His own temptation by Satan in the wilderness. I'm thinking here of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. And this passage is very instructive to us all. Life is more than just about bread and water. It's more about money and health. Life is about the God who is able to walk with us through all of the trials that we face. When Jesus quoted this particular passage, man does not live by bread alone, He was actually contrasting bread with the very word that comes from the mouth of God. Honestly, what do we value? What do we value more? Do we value the word of God or our next meal? What do we value more? The promises of God's provision and protection, or whether or not we have enough money right now? What do we value more? Walking with God, or, and this is where you fill in the blank, whatever issue you're struggling with, whatever thing that is your hardship, fill in the blank. What do you think about all the time? What would you miss more? What would you miss more if you had to do without it for one whole day? This causes us to think about what it is that we truly place as important in our lives. Has there ever been a time when you truly had to trust God for your daily bread? Or trust God for, fill in the blank, with your own struggle, your own hardship, your own challenge? What is your attitude toward food, or again, whatever it is that you're struggling with? This speaks much to our priorities. Well, let's now return to the people of Israel and their concern over a lack of food. Reading on now, beginning at verse 9. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." While Moses was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in a cloud. Now, the main point of instruction in these verses is, come before the Lord. Come before the Lord. Too often, we forget about God in the midst of our difficulties. Some people even run away from God when they face hard times in their lives. Moses, as they were facing a difficulty, as they were facing the challenge of not having food, Moses says, come before the Lord. Why is it important to focus on God when we face difficulties? Because then God can show forth His glory. The people saw the glory of God in the cloud there in the desert. Now, one of the themes we've been talking about recently in our adult Sunday school class is the glory of God and how we need to recognize and praise God for His glory. And that's even a theme of a recent chapter we looked at in our Wednesday night study. So our church has really been talking a lot about the glory of God and how we need to recognize and draw attention to the glory of God. Here we're told to come before the Lord so that we can see the glory of God. When we come before the Lord, we then see the hand of God in our circumstances. In our Wednesday night study, we talked about how prayer, we need to have our prayers be prayers that would pray for things so that God would show forth His glory and our prayers become a means of showing forth the glory of God. Let us allow God's hand to work in our circumstances so that the glory of God will be seen. Verse 11, the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." The announcement here is that God would provide the people with meat. We'll see that it was the quail. He will also provide them with bread from heaven, the manna. But the key point in this passage is not that the people would be filled with meat or that the people would be filled with bread, but that they would know that I am the Lord your God. When God does provide our needed finances, when God does bring healing and restoration, do we celebrate our financial stability, or do we celebrate God? When God brings healing, do we celebrate our health and our restoration? Or do we celebrate the Lord who brought about our healing and our restoration? There's another important lesson from this story. And that is, when God does come and when God does provide, sometimes He does so in surprising and unexpected ways. Let's read on now, verse 13. That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost were on the ground, appearing in the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." So in the evening they had quail. Rather surprising, rather special treat from the Lord, from the Lord. Now, many understand these quail to be migratory birds that would actually spend the winter on Africa or in Africa and then fly across the waters and land on the Sinai Peninsula every spring. And so as the quail are arriving there on the Sinai Peninsula, they tend to be rather exhausted and they kind of just land, and they're easy to gather up, and they rest there on the ground, and they're easily gathered. Now, we don't want to look at this and try to find a natural explanation for it. We want to recognize, as the scriptures tell us, that it is God who was providing this need, this special meat for the people. Keep in mind as well that the quail were not available at all the times. In fact, this was actually an occasional provision from the Lord. We read about another account of quail in the book of Numbers, chapter 11. And in this case, we read, beginning at verse 31, "Now a wind went out from the Lord. Now a wind went out from the Lord and drove quail in from the sea. It brought them down all around the camp to about 3 feet above the ground, as far as a day's walk in any direction. All that day and night and all the next day, the people went out and gathered quail." Here we see that the quail came to the people by means of a special wind that went out from the Lord. A special wind that went out from the Lord. God was seeing their need and He was providing for that need. But then we return now to the manna. The manna is even more remarkable than the quail, because the manna was the Lord's provision every single day. In fact, we read in this passage that it's every single day until they arrive in the promised land. That's 40 years of meals from God every single day. The biblical account of manna points clearly to that supernatural origin. It was clearly from God. In fact, the people didn't even know what it was. They had never seen something like this before. In fact, the word for manna comes from the Hebrew word of what is it? They went out in the morning and says, "What is it? I don't know. What is it?" Manna. Hebrew form for the word, "What is it?" The people didn't know what it was, but they did know where it came from. It was God's provision in their time of need. The people needed food. God sent it in a rather surprising way. Has God ever met one of your needs, answered one of your prayer requests, met one of your desires in a very surprising way? What we need to do is to open our eyes and to recognize how God is moving and to acknowledge that and give glory to God. God does meet our needs, and He does so often in surprising ways, unexpected ways. Let's go back now to our account of the Exodus, Verse 16. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person into your tent." And an omer is a unit of measure that represents a daily portion of food. Verse 17. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. If you recall, the Apostle Paul uses this very passage to illustrate the importance of giving generously. This comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, a passage we looked at last year. But Paul's point in that chapter is that as we give generously, God will continue to supply all of our needs. That's what God is doing in this situation in the wilderness. He is supplying the needs of his people. And God continues to supply the needs of his people even today. However, to ensure that the people would trust him to provide, the Lord does instruct the people not to gather more than what they needed. The only exception, on the day before the Sabbath, they could gather enough for 2 days, so they would not have to work on the Sabbath day. Well, sadly, the account, I'm going to skip a few verses here, but the account talks about how some people disobeyed this command, and they went out and they tried to hoard as much manna as they could. But their selfish acts proved to be futile, because we read, verse 20 of this chapter, that the extra manna that they tried to save overnight to the next day was full of maggots and began to smell. Let's jump down now to verse 27. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, and they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out." So the people rested on the seventh day. Now, we address many of the themes related to the Sabbath in our recent series on the Ten Commandments. The point here, and the point of that fourth commandment, which is the commandment regarding the Sabbath day, it was to remind us that God provides. God provides. God labored for 6 days to create all that there was, and all that he created was intended to meet our needs and supply our needs. God created for 7 days, or for 6 days, and on the seventh day, it says that he rested. He rested. He commands us likewise to labor and then to rest. In the Exodus, God continues to provide even as the people rested. In fact, when you think about it, when we don't rest, when we work all the time, and we refuse to take a break, we're kind of trying to meet our own needs in those situations. We're thinking that if we don't do it, no one else will. And we work hard to meet all of our own needs, forgetting that God has promised to meet all of our needs. God can, and he does provide. We are to rest from our labors to demonstrate, in part, our trust in the God who will provide for us. God continues to be faithful. There's a long track record from God on His faithfulness. He provided for the people the entire time they were in the wilderness. God continues to provide for us as we continue to trust Him and rely upon Him. We need to recognize God's provision and His protection, and we need to celebrate when God provides. Listen how the Israelites were instructed to remember what God had done for them. Reading now from verse 32. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so that we can see the bread I gave you to eat in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt." Verse 33. So Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it. Then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come, as the Lord commanded Moses." Aaron put the jar in front of the testimony, and that it might be kept. And the Israelites ate manna in the wilderness for 40 days until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. Our daily bread. The daily bread arrived every day except for the Sabbath day, but then the Lord provided a double portion the day before for 40 years. The text tells us that the bread tasted good. It tasted like honey. And Aaron was to keep a portion of that, a daily supply of that, as a reminder for generations to come that God provides. God provides. As believers, we sometimes will face times of want. We sometimes face times of plenty. But we need to always trust that God will provide our daily bread, as He's promised to do. And we need to walk with God. We need to celebrate what God has done. And let that become a lasting memorial for us, a remembrance that God wants to provide. We just need to trust in Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the many ways in which You meet our needs, and you give us our daily bread. You give us our daily sustenance. You give us the things that we need. Father, help us to always recognize the things that we have, the things that we have been given, all come from Your hand. We want to celebrate You as our provider, as our sustainer. Father, sometimes we will show forth our unfaithfulness, just as the people of Israel did. But we know that You always continue to be faithful. You continue to bless. Help us to remember and not forget. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.